Hey everyone, welcome to the Paradox College Podcast. Today I'm joined by Nathan Duane and Alyssa as we tackle the topic of relationships. All right, guys, what's up? Nathan Duane and Alyssa, our new college residents.
Hi.
Welcome. So glad to have you guys on the podcast. How are you feeling?
I feel great. Yeah. Glad to be here.
Yeah, it's been on my bucket list to be on a podcast for a long time.
Today's a big day.
Didn't think it'd be about dating, but here we are.
You know, there's got to be a first for everything. And here we are, the Paradox College Podcast. We are kind of a big deal, so
right.
Glad that you guys allowed us to be your debut podcast. Alyssa, have you ever been on a podcast?
No. Day one for me too.
Wow, look at this.
With the millions of listeners out there.
All of our, we do have quite the following. It's more of a cult than anything at the Paradox.
Okay, sure.
For all of our millions of listeners, just so you guys know, Nathan Duane and Alyssa are two of our new college residents. Each year we have a residency program within the college ministry. This year we have three total residents, but Indy and Alyssa are two of them. Our third will be starting in August, and so we wanted to do this podcast, and we didn't want to wait for the third one, so sorry, Caleb Watkins, but we're doing it without you.
Bummer.
We miss you, though.
We too. The fun part for everybody that doesn't know is that he's actually sitting in the room with us right now.
It's like he's here in spirit.
He
body.
Is literally
and.
Here. Just so happened to be here in the office on the day we're doing the podcast. So we are doing this podcast on relationships and dating. How do you guys feel about the topic of dating and relationships?
Yeah, it's a big one. I think dating is just like obviously really, really prevalent in our lives and just like in this phase of life in general, college into like young adulthood. And it's like a big opportunity to either point people towards Jesus in the way that we date, or a big one that can be like seen as like a separate thing from our walk with Jesus. And so learning how to like merge those two is just a big thing.
Sure. Yeah. And you guys are both what people would generally consider young adults, both recent graduates from college. Where did you guys go to college?
I went to Texas A&M. Whoop.
I went to the University of Mary Hardin Baylor and Liberty University.
Wonderful. Very nice. And so you being in this kind of stage of life where you're both single, this is not just a college topic. This is kind of a topic for a lot of young adults these days, which is why I'm excited to get a chance to talk about it. We've, you know, over the last couple months, I've had multiple conversations with our students who are either in dating relationships or ending dating relationships, and they're trying to figure it out or trying to start a dating relationship. And there's just been a lot of conversations with students where they've asked, like, hey, have you ever thought about doing like a dating series? And I didn't want to do like a dating series on our college gathering nights because that just seemed a little too cliche for me. So we decided let's try the podcast instead. Indy, what are your thoughts on like this topic? Why do you think this is important?
Yeah, I think that there are a few key markers to our generation. And, you know, apart from like being in the age of social media, we're also in the age of dating, I would say. Lots of pressure, hookup culture, dating apps. It's all around us no matter what. And so wanting to be Christians that engage the culture around them, I think it's just a really relevant topic for us.
Absolutely. Yeah. It is. It's incredibly relevant, and it's especially important because if you guys didn't know this, you can't actually find the word dating in the Bible.
Yeah.
It's a modern construct that we've created, and so because of that, there's no verse we can go to and say, okay, the Bible says this, now we should go and do that. When that happens, that's great, and it's wonderful that we get that. But for this particular topic, really, we're not dealing so much with the Bible says this, but we're dealing more along the lines of wisdom and what how does the Bible inform the way that we date? How does the Bible inform the way that we approach this without specifically addressing and prescribing a certain way to do it? So it's less of do's and don'ts, laws or not laws, but it's more of how is it that the Lord has created us? What is a wise way in which we can approach this topic? And so I'm excited to get into it. I want you two to kind of run this. I want y'all to like hit me with the questions, let me know what your thoughts are, and we'll just see where this goes. Sound good?
Sounds good.
Okay, who wants to go first?
Indeed. You got it.
Yeah, I got it. I guess just the blanket statement to start us off would be, what even is the purpose of dating?
Yeah. So again, because dating is more of the modern construct, these are all things that I've kind of come to know, but I'm not going to sit here and say that this is gospel, this is law, this is absolute truth. But in my years of doing college ministry and my years of walking with students and young adults who are dating, having dated my wife myself and gone through that season, this is the position that I've come to, where dating, the point and purpose of dating, in my opinion, is an evaluation period that ought to be leading towards the end goal of marriage without, and there's plenty of caveats in this, without marriage being this overwhelming idea or idol that causes so much anxiety and pressure beforehand, to where you have to figure out if you can marry the person to even just ask them out on a date. Mm-hmm. But if we're just talking about solely the purpose of dating, I would just say that it's an evaluation period that ought to be with the end goal in mind, without it being this overwhelming thing that has to be come to a conclusion at the beginning. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that makes sense.
Makes a lot of sense. How do you feel about kind of like, I don't know, I've heard in wedding ceremonies before comments like, today so-and-so becomes complete, or like the verse that talks about how it's not good for man to be alone. Would you say that's talking about like marriage or community, or like how do you feel about those kind of comments?
Yeah, so I'll address the verse where it says it's not good for man to be alone, and that's why God created a helper for him, where I would say that that does speak to marriage, but it speaks to the bigger idea that the Lord, being a triune God, being in relationship with himself, acknowledges that it's not good for man to be alone. And so he does create a helper for him in the form of Eve, which does become Adam's wife. And so you can apply that to the wife. But I think when you take the scriptures as a whole, it would be easy to then take that and be like, okay, cool. So then marriage is this big thing where now you have to be married because it's, the Bible says it's not good for man to be alone. Mm-hmm. So now I have to go and find a wife, or now I have to go and find a husband. And yet we have example after example of men and women in the Bible who do not get married. And there is no evidence in scripture that would suggest that they are somehow less than or not complete. So if you just use Jesus as the example, and man, I get it, somebody's gonna like roll their eyes right now listening to this, like, oh, you're gonna use Jesus as an example, and like, yes, I am gonna
pretty
use,
good example.
Yeah, I am gonna use Jesus as the example. We have no evidence. I'm not talking about the Da Vinci Code. We have no evidence of Jesus having any sort of romantic relationship, and yet he was the fullest, truest human who ever walked the earth.
Yeah.
And then if you want to go to Paul, if you're saying Jesus is not fair example, Caleb, give me somebody real. Okay, Jesus was real, but Paul, being an apostle, also was not married, also was single. And so it, just this idea that it's not good for man to be alone, but that doesn't then mean that marriage is now the completion of the person. I think we were created for community. We were created for these relationships because we were made in God's image, and that's how God is. And yet when it turns into, now that you are married, you are now complete and whole, I think is taking that concept too far. And I would say is honestly a little bit bogus, because that's not what we see in scripture, in the totality and the whole of scripture, especially in the examples that were given.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. No.
You guys have thoughts, feelings about that?
No, I agree. I think it can often make, just put a higher emphasis on marriage than is true. And I think, honestly, that's something that the church at large can work on, is just like creating less of like this hierarchy between like singles, and then like, oh, you might get to marriage one day, is like a higher level. Listen,
I would say that marriage is a gift.
Right.
But I would also say that singleness is a gift.
Yeah. Right.
And I don't think that those two things ought to be pitted against each other as one is better than the other. I think there's a ton of reasons for either of them, but I think that we have to acknowledge them as both gifts that God has given to us to steward well. And so if you are to get married, praise God. If you are to be single, praise God. Do all of it for the glory of God. And we'll talk about singleness a little bit more specifically in a later podcast episode, but yeah. I just want to make sure that people hear that singleness is a gift and you can steward that for God's glory. And that, and even in some sub Christian cultures, some like subcultures of Christianity, there's this idea that, oh, I got to be married like to fulfill my ultimate ministry purpose. And I think that marriage can and ought to be ministry focused, but I don't think that it is the ultimate ministry purpose. And I think that you can do a ton of, and I think there's actual biblical evidence. And again, we'll do this in another podcast episode, but there's biblical evidence of sometimes marriage can actually hinder ministry. Yeah. And singleness can like put you on a path of like being able to do more than your married friends. So little teaser for our singleness episode.
Little plug, if you will.
Yeah, sure.
I guess like going more deeper into like the realm of dating and what it looks like, what would you say are like some good structures for like living in community with your friends still, like still your, you know, your community, but also dating somebody, having that relationship? What is like the balance there?
Yeah. So I like to use the framework and terminology of intentional friendship when it comes to dating, because I think that what we've done with dating within the Christian world is that we've kind of created this own this separate category of relationships that we don't see in the Bible when we begin to date. And I think that we've kind of adopted that model from the world that says once two people are in a dating relationship, they're now like this quasi semi sort of but not really married couple that can and has special access to each other, but not full access because we're Christian. And so we kind of like just spun Jesus onto that, like the secular way of dating. And yet I think what our relationships ought to look more like is intentional friendships of that evaluation. And so the reason why I use that is because I think that you ought to view the person that you're dating in the same way that you view your close friends, because I think when you begin to do that, you then have a framework of balance in those relationships. You do have a framework for, I'm not going to spend all of my time with this person. I'm not going to talk to this person, like have just a running text message thread or Snapchat, I don't know, streak that you guys do these days. Listen, I don't do the social media, but the reason why I use friendship is because I want our people to actually like view it in a similar way to their close friends. And I get that friendship in and of itself is kind of a little bit of a nebulous thing. But when we're talking about like, we've all experienced and I say we've all, maybe you've not, but a lot of us have experienced the friends who have, you've seen them start dating somebody else and they just drop off the face of the earth, right? Yeah. And we all know what it looks like when it goes wrong. So then what does it look like for it to go right? Well, I think it should be more of like what your close friend relationships look like in the amount of time you spend and think and talk to and just like the amount of mental space that takes up. Does that make sense? Does that answer the question?
Yeah, I think it answers the question.
Yeah. Yeah.
Do you want me to elaborate any more on any of that? Like, because I know it's broad and it's vague, but that's the way that I tend to try to think through it.
I guess, is there like anything that you would say like marks it as different, like that dating relationship that marks it different from like just another close friend you have, or should they look like just copy and paste?
That's a great clarifying question. I think that there are things that you can and ought to do with the person you're dating that you probably aren't going to do with your close friends. Like I personally think that we give too much affection to our dating partners, but our significant others, partners, whatever, it's a little bit of a word, our significant others, but I don't think that affection or displaying like physical touch is a bad thing. I think that done in the proper settings in the right way, that it can be good. And so I don't think that you need to be holding hands with all of your friends. If you do, that's fine too. I'm not saying you shouldn't, but like things like holding hands is great. Things like just like that physical proximity is okay in a dating relationship, because if you're evaluating moving forward in this relationship, you do need to have ideas of whether or not you guys are not compatible. Because I think that if you're a boy and you're a girl, and I'm not trying to get into these topics, you guys, but if you're a boy and you're a girl, then I think you are compatible. We can have that podcast another day. but I mean, just more of just like the chemistry there, right? I think that there is actual like physical chemistry that does play a part in the equation. It is not the end all be all, but yeah, I think you should have some sort of level of attraction to each other. Yeah. Is that giving a little bit more clarity of like what I mean by there can be special, just like unique things about your relationship? I think they just right now operate in such a unique realm that they ought to look a little bit closer to friendship.
Gotcha. Yeah.
Yeah. I think that makes a lot of sense. Kind of like along the same vein. I know I've like watched a lot of friends who are dating wrestle with like boundaries, whether that be like physical or emotional or spiritual, which I totally recognize that like if you're dating more along the lines of friendship, then like with that, boundaries are probably going to be easier because yeah. that's just, you're fighting it less if it looks more like a friendship. But can you just talk about like why are boundaries hard? Mm-hmm. Talk about like the shame that's often associated with that. And like, what does it look like to have solid boundaries?
So the reason why boundaries are hard is because I think that we've created, like I said earlier, we've created this third category of relationships that we treat each other when we enter in a dating relationship in some way like a quasi marriage type relationship where we treat that other person like we would potentially treat a spouse in the way in which we think about them, in the way in which we spend time with them, in the way in which we interact with them, which then leads us down a path of what I call emotional intimacy, to where when you spend so much time with somebody, you spend so much time talking to somebody, you begin to share parts of yourself with somebody that you two go to emotional depths that I don't think are intended this side of marriage, because what we tend to see happen more often than not in dating relationships is that the deeper you go emotionally in that intimacy, your physical intimacy wants to catch up to that.
Right.
And so it's not as though physical intimacy just happens overnight. Mm-hmm. It's not as though physical intimacy is its own, like this separate thing that's not connected to anything else. And then, oh no, just all of a sudden we just, you know, you heard people, your friends maybe talk about, oh, we just slipped up. Just kind of just happened. Mm-hmm. Oh, really? You just fell into your significant other's arms, and next thing you know, like, it doesn't just happen. The point I'm trying to make is it doesn't just happen, but there is a pattern leading up to that point of decisions, of levels of intimacy that we go to, that then our physical intimacy, it becomes harder and harder for us to not reach those same depths physically. And so what I would suggest to people, and the reason why boundaries are hard is because we don't typically consider the emotional side of things. What I would suggest to people is that, yes, have physical boundaries, but also have emotional time, just relational boundaries, to where you're not sharing the things. And we I think we've talked about this a little bit between you and I, you guys and I, but like this idea of not sharing the deepest, darkest parts of yourself with your partner, with your significant other. I keep saying partner. I don't know why I keep saying partner. With your significant other that you maybe are only telling your closest friends or the people closest to you, just because you're trying to set up these boundaries so that you guys don't go down the path of sexual immorality. Mm-hmm. Does that make sense? Because I feel like that's a little bit of a confusing, complicated answer.
Yeah. No, I think it makes sense. Do you feel like a good rule of thumb is like, if your closest people don't know about this, then like probably not what you should be sharing with your significant other?
Absolutely. Yeah. And again, it's not even just like the things we share with them, although that is good to make sure that you're being mindful of that, but it's just the amount of time you spend like interacting with them.
Yeah. Right.
The amount of time you spend talking to them. Now we're getting into like me personally, but I'll give you guys some things that I would just encourage you, if you are entering or you are in a dating relationship, is maybe you guys can convince me that I'm wrong with this, but I see no good reason for you to be alone with your significant other, especially behind closed doors. Can you guys give me an example off the top of your head of like a good reason why you guys would need to be alone.
It's a good question.
Honestly, yeah, I don't think so. Yeah. Not right now.
I think an argument that you would have with that is just kind of like, well, if I'm preparing to marry this person, like I need to know like everything about them before I commit to marry them. And so like, how am I supposed to know like that I want to commit to the rest of my life with them without knowing pretty much everything about sure. them?
Yeah. And I understand the heart behind that question. I just also think that you're assuming that you can know everything about them. Right. And as somebody who is married now, mm-hmm. I can tell you that you won't know everything about them when you get married. True. You can't know everything about them when you get married. No matter how hard you try, no matter how much information you share, I'm not saying that you should hide things from your mm-hmm. significant other, but I don't think that this idea of like, I gotta know everything mm-hmm. if I'm gonna make this decision to marry that person. No, I think you need to know, do they love the Lord? Are they seeking to submit their life mm-hmm. to Him? Are they following Jesus first off? And if they are, man, I think that's enough for you, because what they're displaying is a willingness and a desire to lead a life of repentance. And that's what you need in a spouse.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, have the conversations, get to know each other on a deeper level, like share your true, authentic self, but you don't need to know everything. And you certainly don't need, like, if you're going to make the argument that that's why you need to be behind closed doors, whether or not that was the argument you were trying to represent, I would say, why don't you go on a walk?
Right.
Have that conversation right. walking around the neighborhood.
Do you
need to like have that conversation in your room on your bed?
Mm.
No, you don't. Yeah,
for sure.
Yeah.
So anyways, that's just my own personal thing. The other thing I would say also just, and I know we're getting into practical things, but whatever, I'm already here, is that if you're going to seek to have your relationship in community, you should have it in community. Just like I said, with you don't need to be alone behind closed doors. You should do more of your hangouts with other people.
Right.
And I think you can have one-on-one time. You guys can and ought to go on dates. Go out to a public place. Meet at a coffee shop. Go to a restaurant. Go on a walk.
Mm.
But do more of your just like hangouts with your closest friends, with your community, with your roommates. Try to do your best to just have more eyes on your relationship to make sure that everything is in the open, that there are no secrets of your relationship, and that you're just operating in wisdom and not giving an opportunity, giving a foothold for the enemy to like sneak in with some sort of temptation.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I would also just say that's like a huge gift. Like I had three roommates this year who are now married. Well, that's weird. They literally just got married. And a bunch of them just dated with us as their community this year or for the past few years. And that's just a huge gift to your single friends to not feel like you're all of a sudden like outcast from their social circle because you're not dating. And so that just makes it so much more enjoyable for the people around you.
Yeah, and it's going to help you with those relational relationship balance
right.
of friends and like bringing them in, inviting them in, like allowing for your friends to be friends and allowing for the person you're dating to be a part of those friends. Mm-hmm. And it's just, we all have blind spots, especially when we're dating somebody. And oftentimes we don't want to know what our blind spots are, and yet our friends are really, really good and helpful things, people to like show us gently, kindly, lovingly, which I would say to any friends out there, if you have concerns about the people your friends are dating, I would lovingly share those concerns with your friend. And the fear is always going to be, well, what if this ruins our friendship? I mean, it might, but if it does, then there's probably some idolatry happening there anyways. Mm-hmm. And hopefully at that point you can like share with them that and hope that the Lord would like bring them back to Himself in that.
Yeah.
I know we're running up on the time. Do we have like one last question you guys want to get to, or how do you want to wrap this thing up?
Can I step on that soapbox too really quick?
Step
I mean,
on.
I don't have to like fully step. I'll put like my pinky toe on
Come
the
on.
Soapbox just to get my voice in there too. I think like another gift of dating in community like even speaks to the argument that brought this all up of like wanting to get to know that person more. And while we, you know, I think we all three agree that you can't know a person fully before you marry them.
Absolutely.
How long are you into marriage, and do you feel like you know every single detail and intricacy of your wife's mind, Caleb? Yeah. It's just like seeing somebody in interaction with other people shows you so much about them. You want to know more about your boyfriend? Hang out with him and his friends and see what 100%. That's like. You want to know 100%. More about your girlfriend? Hang out with her and her family.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And you just like truly get to see more and learn more about them and see how they interact. And I think that's an awesome thing.
Yeah,
I totally agree.
Just another plug for dating and community, I guess.
Absolutely. Yeah, we always put our best foot forward in these dating relationships. And so we make ourselves as perfect as possible around the people that we like. And yet, like you're saying, when you see them interacting with other people, you're starting to see other facets of their personality. Try to see them interact with their parents. Try to see them interact with their siblings. Because if you do get married, the way they interact with the people that are closest to them, AKA their family, is probably how they're going to interact with you at some point or another.
Yeah.
And so also just real quick, I want to throw in this and maybe we'll turn this into another episode in a week or two. But the things you ought to be looking for in a potential person you want to date is, are they Christian? Do they love the Lord? I've said some of this already in the podcast, but I'm going to say it again. Are they leading a life of repentance? And the Bible says that you will know my disciples by their love for each other. Are they like in community, being submitted to other people? Do they, it's less of, I'm not trying to make the argument that if somebody's a Christian, you should be able to date them. I think there's other things to that. But I think the very first foremost thing is, do they love the Lord? Are they pursuing him? Mm-hmm. They don't need to be varsity level Christian. They don't need to have it all together, but are they pursuing him? Do they have a desire to grow in godliness? Mm-hmm. And if they do, praise God.
Mm-hmm.
Let's try to figure out if the other pieces of the equation fit. If you've listened to this point, we would love to hear your thoughts. We'd love to hear your questions. We're going to do some more dating relationship podcasts. We've got some other topics we want to touch on that we're going to be doing. But if you have specific questions, we'll throw up some things on Instagram. If you don't see those questions on our stories, then you can always just DM our Instagram account, Paradox College, with your questions on dating. We don't want to just sit here and talk about the stuff that we think is important if you don't think that's important. And so if you've got some specific questions, let us know. We'll do our best to engage and address as much of this as possible because, like we said at the beginning, this is such a huge part of our culture today. So if there's something I said that you're like, hey, dude, you're going to need to explain that a little bit more, let me know. Hit us up on Instagram. Thanks for listening. Nathan, Duane, Alyssa, thank you for being on the podcast.
Of course.
First of many. All right, guys. Thanks so much for listening. We'll catch you later. Bye.